Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Jack from Cultaholic, joined by Ross and Andrew. What was that?
I don't know.
I thought you did like a Corey Graves, like a... We're all very excited. We're all very excited because it's time this weekend, of course, for WrestleMania XL 40. And that means that obviously we've got the best pitches we've ever done.
Yes.
I've done all right.
Of course.
I backed myself. What are you throwing over there? The atmosphere in this room has been anarchy while we were setting up. How are we doing?
Yep, fine. Yep. Looking forward to WrestleMania. Yeah. It's a stacked two-night event. So
oh, you've got a
mullet.
Yeah.
I'm growing the mullet.
Oh, Dominic Mysterio.
I've got a mullet. In honor of me surname Schumacher in a few months' time.
I thought it was in honor of Jay.
No. It's because I've got curly hair.
Yeah, oh, makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense.
And Andrew?
I'm excited. My jeans, my socks, and my shoes may be damp from the rain, but that's not going to put a dampener on my excitement.
I just think he was writing those pictures and got a little bit too excited.
I was going to say something else as well.
No, nothing dirty. I'm just very excited.
And we're all very excited because it's WrestleMania, of course, and what better way to celebrate than with nine lovely pitches? If you've never watched this before, we go around in a circle, Ross, then Andrew, then myself, we go around three times and we are left with nine wonderful pitches for WrestleMania 40. But remember the golden rule. It's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Ross, me on Facebook, please.
Night one. There's that tag team match, isn't there? Rock and Roman are making their entrances, and during Roman's portion of the ring walk, we get to the moment where Roman does this. Come on down, guys. And out comes every single living member of the Samoan dynasty. In brackets, if they're able to. I think I read Roman's dad's got some sort of health issue at the moment. I hope he's okay. Anyway, all the physically able ones are able to walk out there with Roman for his entrance. The Samoan dynasty surround the ring for the tag team match, creating one hell of a visual. I don't know what they're doing at ringside. Just bring down weapons and all sorts and just be Samoan. It'll look fantastic. We get little interference from the younger, most physically able members of the Samoan dynasty throughout the tag team match before eventually we get to the customary referee down spot because this is a match involving Roman Reigns. Solo leads all the younger, more physically able members of the Samoan dynasty into the ring, and they're laying the boots to Cody and Seth like it's that scene in Ready to Rumble where Jimmy the King is getting beat down by Sinclair's hired goons, not in that way, that did the screw job that they did in that film. It's heartbreaking. Then, all of a sudden, it's bloody John Cena at the top of the ramp. Because it's pro wrestling, he doesn't rush to the ring to save his friends. He looks at the camera, he does all that sort of stuff, and he says, it's time to save the WWE from these numbskulls, right in the lens like he does sometimes. Hey, Stu, let's save the world. He poses and waits at the top of the ramp some more, and he's waiting there because it's bloody stone cold, stone cold, stone cold. What? But Austin doesn't walk out alone. He's joined by the likes of LA Knight, Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, but crucially, not Drew McIntyre because he doesn't care about this match. It's all the people, apart from Drew McIntyre, who have been screwed by the bloodline over the last few years. The lads see off the Samoan dynasty, and after the scene is cleared somewhat, we get a back-to-back bump into each other, kind of turn around, stare down between The Rock and Austin. The ref is still down, mind you.
Spine tingling.
The pair start laying in the punches, and then Jeremy Jeremy Borash plays that part of My Way on the speakers in the arena when they start doing that to each other. Yeah! This massive schmoz eventually sees the Samoan dynasty, Solo, Jimmy, even the wise man Paul, ousted from the ringside area altogether. F you, stunner to the Rock, the ref comes back around, crossroads, 1, 2, 3. Ooh. No bloodline Ooh. Rules on night two. Cody and Roman can have a straight up match with nay bollocks and no distractions taken away from Cody finishing the story. We've had our wank fest on night one, as Rock liked to call it, didn't he?
Yeah, I said Cody said that he didn't let Roman and Rock have their wank fest.
Yes, yeah. Not wankathon, as I've got in my head. So.
That's next year.
We've had the wank fest on night one.
That's Cody evening,
can, yeah. Cody can finish the story himself on night two. That is what I would like to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, thumbs
it's
up
yes.
from me.
Quite similar to mine, but it's a bit different. Different enough, as we'll see. Different, just different enough.
It's just that quite similar to mine, but maybe a little bit different, though.
Yours will be a lot more in-depth.
Mine is a big, chunky
smaller, bottle. Holy
the biggest
smaller,
one I've got.
Smaller font size.
So
I think it's the first
it's
one.
It's different.
One.
They've changed the font now on Word. It's quite remarkable.
They've got like a couple of hundred different
yeah,
fonts, you know.
Yeah, they do. It's very good. I like it. I like it a lot. I'm in two minds at the moment, because I'm like, I would like to see the Cody Roman match on night two be a little bit different from what we had last year, from being just, I guess, like a straight wrestling match.
Aye.
But at the same time, it would be nice that they did just close this, like, finish the story, close the chapter, them two just together, no bollocks as well. So I'm in two minds a little bit, but I like the way you've gone with it.
Yeah, I like the way you've gone with it, and I'm in one mind, and that mind agrees with yours.
Thank you very much.
Mm. Okay. Two yeses for Ross.
WrestleMania.
It's bloody WrestleMania. Yes.
Andrew. Is your are you also should we all start with our main
yeah,
event
we might
ones?
As well.
All right, okay.
I've called this one overbooking galore.
Okay.
Because it is overbooked out the wazoo. So night one, I've said the Bloodline beat Cody and Seth to enforce those Bloodline rules into Roman and Cody's Ooh. Title match on night two. Jay tries to come to the aid of his pals to prevent any further beatdown after the match, but he also gets absolutely demolished for his troubles as night one closes with all three men's beaten, bloodied bodies piled on top of one another. So we get to night two, where we get Drew McIntyre defeating Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, not only does he defeat Seth, though, after the match, he just relentlessly lays into Rollins. He targets his worn-out back and his knee. Security general managers are beating Cody from the night before. He even tries to get involved, pried her away, but to no avail. He powers past them, continues the onslaught. That is, until that little scamp CM Punk on commentary. He's seen enough. He gets himself involved. The crowd erupts. The two throw fisticuffs at each other. Punk hoists her up on his shoulders for the GTS, but McIntyre, he escapes, slides out the ring, and off up the ramp holding that new title.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'll say at the end.
All right, cool. Medical and Punk try to help Rollins to his feet, but Drew's already done the damage, with the now former champion having to be stretched out of the arena. Drew watches on, but so does Paul Heyman at the top of the ramp as well. He's grinning from ear to ear as the two shake hands, seemingly paying off that little Easter egg that we saw the other week on Raw with the two talking in the background during a segment. So later in the night, we see Seth being loaded into an ambulance and being taken to a local medical facility. He's done. He's out of there. He's completely wiped out from the equation. And then we see Punk confront Cody as well. And he tells the American Nightmare that whilst he may still be recovering from his injury, he has his back tonight. This is bigger than all of us, after all. And he knows that with Jay and Seth out of the picture, the numbers aren't stacked in his favour. Cody thanks Punk for the backup and leaves the scene, but that's when Drew blindsides Punk. He tosses him into a windshield. Maybe it's even real glass. Who knows? Don't go there,
Adam.
Oh, my God. And he slams a car door onto his injured triceps in a safe way, of course. And he says, I stole your moment. You don't ever get to have another one. Cry me a river, you daft bastard. And he leaves the scene. So, right, this is it. We get to the undisputed WWE Universal title match. Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns. Bloodline rules. Anything goes. Cody is very much down on numbers in this one. But surprisingly, to begin with, it's just Roman and Cody. They absolutely leather each other in an intense back and forth. Weapons, table spots, just the job lot. And then Roman talks Cody's family, keeping the babyface on the back foot until Cody makes a spirited comeback. He measures up Reigns at one point. He gets Reigns into position for a crossroads. But harkening back to WrestleMania 39, is Solo Sikoa. He hits the spike in the same way.
Oh, don't go that
way. Oh, my God. One, two. It's a kick out, of course, everybody. Everybody in the crowd comes unglued.
You can do it, Cody.
That's what Jack says in the crowd at WrestleMania Philadelphia. Roman pulls Cody up to his feet and orders Solo to put him away for good. Cody fights back, though. He's trading jabs between the two. He takes them both down, but his momentum is snatched from him as Jimmy comes in, hits a super kick to the back of the head from behind, out of nowhere. He's on his knees as the American Nightmare. Outnumbered, down on his luck, Roman, Solo, and Jimmy surround him. They tie Cody's arms up in the ropes. They're hitting super kicks, Samoan spikes, Superman punches, relentless in their onslaught, but it's just not going to do the job. With a steel chair in hand, Roman Reigns smiles at a glassy-eyed Cody, and Cody's head just drops into his chest in exhaustion. Roman laughs and asks Jimmy to hold up Cody's head. He wants Rose to watch as their chair connects with his skull, everybody. But as Jimmy does this, the tribal chief... as the tribal chief says, we see Cody's expression when his chin gets brought up. He's smiling, laughing even. What? Roman Reigns looks at Solo and Jimmy. He takes no notice. Cody must be delirious from the beat down, this silly boy. Roman raises, he gets a steel chair high above his head. But that's when he's interrupted by Jay's music with the heavily bandaged up Uso from the beatdown he received the night prior, making his way out to the top of the ramp. He's slow in his movement because he's hurting. Surely that's not Cody's master plan though, right? A less than 100% Jay Uso making the save. Not seeing him as a threat, the bloodline shrug him off, turn their attention back to Cody when Jay lifts a mic to his mouth to utter, "I'm not alone, Oos." Oh. And that's when we get, "Your time is up, my time is now." Oh. You can't see me. John Cena is here, everybody. Roman Reigns.
It's going to be Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne's here, everybody. Roman's face drops as Cena and Jay charge to the ring. They take out Solo and Jimmy. All four of those men brawl into the back, into the crowd, out of the arena, with Roman looking on, stunned at what he's just witnessed, which gives Cody enough time to untangle himself from the ropes, and he hits a pedigree onto the steel chair the tribal chief was holding. Exhausted, he makes the cover. One, two. Oh, don't be silly. It's not finishing that way, is it? No, no, no. The ref gets pulled out of the ring.
Will this story be finished?
No, no, no. 2.999 by none other than, of course, the final boss himself, The Rock. The ref tries to confront The Rock, but he gets a right hand for his troubles. Dwayne walks over to Mama Rose in the front row. He slowly takes a weight belt off whilst telling her that he's going to follow through with everything that he's promised to do all this time. Rock gets in the ring. He sizes up Cody, watches him stir to his feet, waiting for the American Nightmare to turn around before he can hit a rock bottom. But the split second before Cody does turn around, that's when the glass shatters. And here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. Hey, give me a hell yeah! One of them.
He does, yeah.
He still starts that sense of going,
he's out of breath.
He's got poncho
here
with him.
Here he is, the final boss. He looks towards the ramp in anticipation, waiting for Austin to come down. But the final boss, he gets a bit of a surprise as Austin jumps the barricade instead. He stumbles mud holes, hits the stunner. Rock gets back up and stumbles into Cody's arms for Cody to hit his own rock bottom on the final boss. Yeah, because he didn't get to do it, did he, on Raw? So he gets to do it this time. Austin clears the Rock of the ring, and then there were two, finally, everybody. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. The two soak in the atmosphere of the crowd. They're going absolutely bananas at this point. They start wailing on each other. Cody hits a bionic elbow. Roman counters with a huge uppercut that rocks Cody, and then he bounces off the ropes to hit a spear. But Cody counters, and he jumps over Reigns. And as the Tribal Chief rebounds off the ropes once more, he's met with a Cody cutter before the challenger locks in the Cody Trinity of Crossroads for the 1-2-3. Closing the final chapter is your new undisputed WWE champion, Cody Rhodes.
Jesus Christ.
Bollocks, I know.
Very much the opposite of what I pitched.
Yeah.
Well, reaching the same conclusion.
Yeah.
It's like two film directors who've adapted the same story for the screen, but done it in different ways.
I've padded it out with bollocks.
You've taken the country B roads. I've gone straight down
the road.
Do you
like a country B road?
Yeah.
And I respect both.
That's where I learned to drive, on country B roads.
Was
you know?
It?
Yeah.
Lucky
Much
for
better. Well, actually, no. Some might say driving in the city is better.
Well, you need that real world experience, don't you, Andrew?
Agreed.
You
know? Agreed.
I'd rather learn in a very sparse environment, I think. It's a yes from me, Andrew.
Thank you.
I liked all the twists and turns.
We got there eventually.
Just like I liked all the twists and turns in Ross's one. And even though they're different, I like them both. So, I don't know what else. Oh, the thing I was going to mention when I went out, I thought I was like, because it was kind of the side stuff, but the Drew CM Punk stuff. Mm-hmm. Does Drew run away from a injured CM Punk, or is there other bit? There was other baby faces there at the time.
There was other baby, oh, yeah, like Cody's in there too. So he just, like, he slides, yeah, out of the ring. Okay. He doesn't want to. He basically doesn't want to give CM Punk like a, yeah, moment, you know, at WrestleMania.
It's a big yes from me.
Oh yes, in the name of Gareth Gates and Will Young, the long and winding road. It's a yes from me.
Thank you. Did they say that?
That was, they did a cover.
Duet,
of it.
Didn't they? Oh, okay.
I mean, I know they wrote it.
They did a duet.
It was their song. I was their song. I remember the video. They're tiny in a shadow, like there's a shadow.
Grayscale in it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's nice that they were friends after being locked in such a vicious battle.
It was, yeah. Yeah. With Team Gareth all the way.
Oh, final. Team Will.
No.
I was Team Gareth.
You were Team Gareth?
Yeah.
Jill doesn't care. Jill doesn't care. Right. Mine also is the main event.
Yep.
Main events. And I've done a bit of exposition here, which I don't know if we really need now because we've already kind of discussed it through yours. But I've put main event of night one. I think we're all maybe suspecting that the heels will win, setting up a big interference fest and an eventual Cody win on night two. Or did the closing segment on this week's Raw change feelings towards that? Then I've put in brackets, survey the room.
Yes, it did. That's why I went the other way.
It's done it for me as well. But I'm like, I kind of want...
We saw Bloodline Rules on Raw.
We did, yeah, didn't we? Mm. Oh, maybe that does...
That's why I changed my mind.
Joel, you got a mic today?
Mm. Oh, he's got a mic again.
Hello.
Do you think that... Who do you think's winning the main event of night one?
I don't know. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough one now.
Would that suggest to you then that Seth gets the pin on night one in the tag match, but then loses the World Heavyweight Championship on night two?
But I'm thinking... Whenever I've been thinking about this and I've been getting tangled myself in knots going, what about... Then I just... The thing that overrides it all, I'm like... The Rock's not going to lose at WrestleMania.
Exactly, it's so different now, isn't it? It's not quite as
he could not take the pin. Clear cut. He wouldn't pin Roman. Mm. I could be proven wrong. Anyway,
what do you think, Joel? Though
I think Rock and Roman's winning.
I think so. If I had to put my money where my mouth was,
I can't see Rock losing.
Yeah.
It's a red herring, isn't it? The stuff on Raw.
Well, on SmackDown,
or maybe SmackDown.
SmackDown might make it a bit more clear. Mm. I'd rather avoid the babyfaces losing on night one because I don't feel like The Rock winning actually helps anyone if he's not going to stick around so they can get revenge. Realistically, he's done enough to Cody that he deserves to get a win over The Rock. And you could argue the same for Seth and probably Roman down the line as well if they do wrestle. Mm. So, I mean, the way it looks like it might pan out is that, like, Cody will win and finish his story, but, like, will he really get proper revenge on The Rock for all the terrible things he's done? I don't know.
I don't know.
Surely, SummerSlam.
He's got to do something. Oh!
The Rock will come back for SummerSlam.
That's a good shout.
But with Rock likely going away after Mania, I think the faces should win night one, especially to avoid Seth probably losing twice in one Mania weekend and looking like a little babby boy. So the main event of night one comes around, and you'll never guess what. It all gets quite chaotic. There's ref bumps, the heels are cheating, there's interference from the other members of the Bloodline. It's all crazy, in capital letters of put. With Cody and Rock the legal men, Seth and Roman end up fighting over to the stage, the big WrestleMania stage. There's all kinds of weapons being used, and like he's done various times in the past, Seth is getting the better of the tribal chief. He does always seem to have Roman's number. He hits a stomp on the stage and Roman's done. It should be 2-on-1 in the match if Seth just goes back to the ring. But like Jeff Hardy in that tag team cage match, yeah, he just can't help himself. Instead, he sees a nearby table and gets an idea. Delightfully devilish, Seymour, I've put. He sets up Roman on the table and climbs the scaffold of the WrestleMania stage. Let's assume that it's low enough that this isn't, like, literally impossible to do without really hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. He manages to get onto the middle of the... There's the X of XL, and he's, like, in the middle of standing on there, yeah. And he looks down at Roman below. He jumps off. Roman rolls away, leaving Seth to crash and burn. Back in the ring, the ref is bumped again, and The Rock goes into full Royal Rumble 99 mode. 99? The one against Mankind? 98. Okay. 99.
99, yeah. He hits him.
He handcuffs Cody and starts hitting him with a chair, maybe a gimmicked one, or maybe just not directly in the head a million times, but the visual parallel is still sort of there with Mankind. Who's going to save the day? Don't worry, though. Mine changes a bit. Out comes Steve on his buggy, driving around the bodies of Seth and Roman, still down on the stage. He gets in the ring, and Rock meets him with a right hand. Blocked. Kick to the gut. Stunner. Rock does his thing. Did I swear there?
No.
Okay, it sounded like I nearly...
Rock does his...
That's all right, okay. Austin wakes up the referee and gets out the ring. Cody does a big roar and breaks the handcuffs, which I think...
That's a Cody thing to do.
It is, isn't it? You can imagine him going...
and he'll do that thing when he does that with his hands.
Yeah.
It's because of all the adrenaline in his soul. He grabs the Rock, crossroads 1, 2, 3. He and a very injured Seth Rollins have some beers with Austin to celebrate, but not too many beers because they've got big matches tomorrow. Seth will absolutely lose after his stupid move, thereby proving Drew McIntyre's point. Mm. Now, of course, this means the main event of night two will just be a normal singles match between Roman and the Roller Coaster. And I think that's fine because now we've had all the interference and the Austin running and everything on night one. I think people, similar to what you said, I think people will just be happy to see Cody finally beat Roman. Mm. But there is one bit of interference in the match, though.
Oh, no.
Two men run out in balaclavas and beat down Cody Rhodes while Roman distracts the referee. And even though they're in balaclavas, it's blatantly Jimmy and Solo-shaped men. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's even a suit-wearing balaclavaed manager with them. But who's this? But who's behind this? Obviously, it's The Rock disregarding the rules of his own stipulation because he's the boss and he can do what he wants. He heads out onto the stage with a microphone and says, Cody Rhodes, I don't care what our agreement was. I've lost it. I don't care what our agreement was. There is no way you are walking out of WrestleMania with that title. If you're Samir. Now, The Rock's about to be interrupted, but we've already used Austin on night one. So instead of the glass shattering, we get Triple H's theme tune.
Oh, what a red herring.
One, two, this one. Not that one, the game, although I would love it if my time played. Here he comes, and I'm not asking for a pedigree. I just need him to walk out and hit The Rock with a sledgehammer. I think that's probably, you can probably do that. Cody goes on to win, and everyone is happy forever.
There we go. Yes.
I enjoyed that. Mm.
That handcuff thing needs to happen. If someone's watching, for God's sake,
imagine
do it.
It actually does now.
They need to try to get downstate to stay on the stage after the entrance and time some sort of like musical note. Oh, yeah.
Or for the whoa.
Oh, my God. That's the thing that gives him strength.
The whole song plays as he's firing up, and eventually, whoa.
Yeah. They could play like the inner monologue in Cody's head to try and...
The camera zooms in on it. It's like muffled. It's kind of like when Bala was fired up by the...
That's exactly what, like literally the, what yeah. I was thinking of then when... Yeah.
Everyone loved that moment.
Yeah,
they did.
When he was flopping like a fish.
So yes, that's that. Yeah,
that's good. The Triple H involved. I think that's the one thing missing from mine and Ross's, actually. I think that would be quite
cheers,
nice
lads.
To yeah. have Mr. Paul get involved in some way.
I don't. Obviously, if he can't do anything
yeah,
physical.
Sledgehammer, though.
I wonder sometimes if, like, when people have had heart issues and that, like, can just adrenaline and excitement, like, be risky? Because that's got to get your blood pumping. Hitting The Rock with a sledgy HR didn't work.
I can't remember if I'm remembering this correctly or not, but because Slash has a pacemaker.
Does he?
The guitar. And he says, I think he gets like a little zap if he, gets a little excited.
But that's amazing, that.
How is he not getting excited all the time? He's shredding.
Well, exactly. I guess he's done it so long at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And a performance like of Ken at that awards do, and he's not. I know, he's getting over. Jesus.
The Oscar. That awards do. Yeah. The awards do.
The awards do.
Apart from the Slammies.
Yeah.
Was it yeses?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, big time.
Especially with the handcuffs.
Ross, your second pitch, please. Oh,
this is overbooked and quite nonsensical, but not stupid. CM Punk arrives at the commentary table for the World Heavyweight Championship match between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, wearing a brown jacket that he used to wear back in the day for his commentary stints on the commentary table, behind the commentary table, speaking the commentary words. But his arms are poking out of this big brown thing. And we see that his...
What? I just feel like I know what's going to happen.
His fists are taped. We can see his fists are taped. There's not okay, reference on not... commentary.
And they've got okay. X's
what
on.
What do you think I was going for there?
I thought he was
going
to be faking his injury with a fake arm pair of arms. He opens his jacket and he sat there like that.
I've now missed a trick, unfortunately.
And they're blatantly mannequin.
like the Kevin Nash things.
Yeah, the cast.
Oh, I need to rewrite my picture. Anyway, his fists are taped, but it's not referenced on commentary. We just see it with our eyes. It's one of those.
Twitter will pick it up.
Yeah, it's one of those entrances for CM Punk where maybe we see the pre-match promo package and then cuts to the shot of him stood next to the announce table, name slate. He sits down and starts doing the commentary, that kind of entrance. Drew McIntyre being the challenger, enters first, coming out to Cult of Personality, wearing DM Hunk-inspired kilt and ring gear. Yeah, he's
good.
Bloody stealing CM Punk's entrance as a WrestleMania main eventer, the bastard. As the match goes on, every so often, Drew and CM Punk are having words when the match sort of goes by the announce table. Obviously, Seth Rollins is having a go at CM Punk every time the match goes by the announce table because they bloody both hate this straight-edge superstar, and he hates them both too. We get to the point in the match where Drew launches Seth at Punk and the announcer's chair, and because of that, Drew and Punk get in each other's faces. It's too much now. It's boiling over the side of the pot. Punk gets on the mic and is like, Drew, if I get touched one more time, I'm getting involved in this match, you know. And then Drew's like, no, sit down, you bam pot. Which I've led is that not too far?
I don't know.
It's a Scottish slang word. Right.
Like idiot.
Idiot, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Unless it's changed me, and I do apologise. Punk then says somebody, get Adam Pearce out here. I'm sick of this. Get Adam Pearce out here. Adam Pearce comes down to the ringside area. Punk puts his real arm around Adam Pearce's shoulder. He's like, hey, Adam, if this guy who clearly has an unhealthy obsession with me sees to my person being touched again, may I please be inserted into this match to make it a triple threat? There's enough water under this particular bridge for that change to make some kind of sense. Pierce is like, nah, get away, you creep. That's not how wrestling works. But then the crowd start going, wah. And then Drew's obviously like, ah, do it. He's a little bum anyway. And then Pierce makes it official. If CM Punk gets touched one more time, he's going to get inserted into the match to make it a triple threat. And in that very moment, Seth Rollins, being the architect, seeing a weak CM Punk with his arm obviously still in a thingy, throws Drew McIntyre into Punk, and the crowd goes, ah! Punk stands up, tears off his suit like a stripper, and we have ourselves a three-way. Eventually, we get to the finish where Seth Rollins stomps CM Punk into the mat. Drew McIntyre throws Seth out the ring, and Drew pins Punk to win the title. Seth is mad at Drew for taking the title and at Punk for taking the fall after initially thinking, ooh, I want to get my hands on that prick and maybe he's a weakness, but, you know, that's Seth. His plan didn't come to fruition, did it? Punk is mad at Rollins and Drew because he's CM Punk. Drew is the champion in the most poo house way possible. I don't see how CM Punk doesn't get involved somehow.
Yeah, I think he does somehow in some way.
And that's the most convoluted way I could think of to get him in there.
Yeah. Why were his fists out?
Just in case.
Just in case. Know,
the Undertaker backstage at WrestleMania 14.
When you finished pitching it, immediately my brain was like, no, because I was like, Punk losing so soon. But he's injured. Like, he's really injured. So, and it does. And the bit I think that's turned it into a yes is that it is a very Drew way to win the heel Drew way to win the belt.
There's a lot of storyline possibilities coming out of
it. I'd love it if Drew would go on to like portray this win as like the most heroic achievement in WrestleMania history and all that.
I think you're right in terms of there's quite a bit of storyline stuff there, because all this time Drew's been wanting to beat Seth for the championship. But instead, if he beats CM Punk, then therefore Seth can come back and be like, well, you didn't beat me for it, did you? You had to beat this injured guy to finally get it. And then that can all tie around to each other. Also, Drew's stolen Punk's Mania moment there too, which is really quite fun to think about.
I was just watching that promo he did from the TNA funeral home. Which is where
very good.
The Aces and Eights, apparently that thing happened there. Well, not apparently, it did happen there. The Aces Eights funeral thing in TNA happened in the same place that Drew McIntyre cut that promo on CM Punk.
That's
and
cool.
I was thinking, why is he starting with CM Punk when he's in the World Heavyweight title match? Surely Punk's got to get involved somehow. That was the genesis for that idea.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how Punk gets involved. Maybe it'll just be really... It feels like a bit of a TV match thing, though, if he just does one little bit and then...
What if it's Damian tries to cash in and Punk stops them?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Why would he
Could
do
be
that?
I'll use that as my pick.
Because this is them two.
Yeah,
this
right,
is them
right.
two. You know, it's between them two.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And Damien's not that guy, is he?
No. Not yet.
Not now.
Yeah.
It's a yes from me.
I didn't expect that.
I'll go for it as well. A yes from me.
It's not as big as the first yes, but it's still a yes.
It's exciting WrestleMania bollocks for a big WrestleMania.
Thank you.
There you go. We like that. My second one, we are going over to the go-home edition of SmackDown this Friday, which coincidentally is where all the Judgment Day boys are going to be as well. However, things don't go quite to plan for them, so Rey and Dragon Lee make Dom and Santos look like utter chumps, whilst JD is launched cranium first into the stratosphere during the Andre Battle Royale by Omos, who goes on to win the whole thing, of course. Why wouldn't he? Finn and Damien, meanwhile, are there to keep a close eye on the A-Town Down Under versus New Catch Republic match ahead of the ladder match this weekend at WrestleMania. Backstage, Damien is livid, though. After they had all this momentum on Monday night, it's gone in an instant. And now, not only do they have to worry about people not treating them as a threat, but they've got to outlast five other teams at the biggest WrestleMania in history to prove that the Judgment Day are truly the ones that run this division. Now, this backstage section is conveniently interrupted by an obnoxious A-Town Down Under, who are loudly beaming halfway down the same corridor Finn and Damien occupy after cheating their way to victory earlier in the night. They proclaim that they have nothing to worry about at WrestleMania, as they're the ones heading in with all the momentum. Plus, Damien and Finn will be too busy peeling Dom and JD off the canvas after this evening's shenanigans. Little do they realise, though, the looming presence of the Undisputed tag team champions behind them, listening to every word. So after brutally launching into an attack on Theory and Waller with steel chairs, Damien choke slams the two onto the concrete before laying them on a table, only for Balor to leap off a set of production crates and hit packed and stacked coup de grace.
Packed and stacked, though,
but on top of each other, coup de grace straight through the table. Oh my goodness. As Nick Aldis and medical staff swarm to the aid of Austin and Grayson, Finn slyly remarks, "Did you just have five other teams, Damien? Let's make it four, shall we?"
That was the most Harry Potter dialogue. don't think I heard you right, Professor.
Damien? Did you say five, Damien?
Sorry, Professor.
Potter?
I think you said the four of us.
And the two leave the scene, that's it, right? So we move ahead to WrestleMania Night 1, and it's ladder match time. Throughout the night, commentary have been hammering home the fact that Theory and Waller aren't medically cleared to compete tonight, following the vicious attack, leading us to assume this is now a five-way tag team match instead. The New Day, DIY, and the New Catch Republic make their way to the ring. Awesome Truths music hits, but there's no rap, everybody. My goodness. Instead, after a brief hesitation, we see Balor and Priest dragging both The Miz and R-Truth out. Behind them, they've been battered, they've been beaten. They toss them down the ramp. We're trying to get the upper hand here. With the crowd in Philly booing them out of the building for denying us some Awesome Truth entrance goodness, Balor and Priest enter the ring, stand across from the other teams waiting for the bell to sound. But before it does, we hear the dulcet tones of one SmackDown general manager, Nick Aldis, who says, "Philadelphia! Before this match gets underway, Adam Pearce and I have an announcement to make. Whilst you may have been wrongfully denied an Awesome Truth entrance in all its glory, sadly, there's nothing we can do to rectify that. However, we advertised a six-pack tag team ladder match for those Undisputed Tag Team titles, and we'll be damned if we don't deliver on that promise. And since A-Town Down Under aren't clear to compete tonight, we have one more team to announce." And now a black and white vignette plays on the Tron of a car moving along a highway. It's not Edge, everybody, all right?
I was like, hang on.
Of a car moving along a highway. As one figure drives, His one figure drives the vehicle. Another holds up a map, tracing their finger along a road.
Put the map down. I want to see what it is.
Until it reaches
a map.
What we can assume is a
2024.
Well, these people are hard as nails. I would see these people using a map.
Is the reveal going to be the drop of the map?
No, the reveal is. So it's from their shoulder. Mm. So it's like from the back seat, right? We see a finger. It like traces across a map. Until we get to Philadelphia, and then it taps out Philadelphia. That's
this is
where
giving
we
me
need to
Darby
go.
Darby and Sting promo
vibes.
Yeah,
feels very Darby.
And now, as the camera pulls out, we see that the car passes under a road sign that reads, "You are now leaving Detroit." With confused expressions, wiping over feeling these participants.
You've done this with one audience. And one audience only.
Once the music hits, the Motor City Machine Guns are the sixth team to be inserted into the ladder. Are you okay?
Do they win?
I'm going to say...
Oh, my God!
I'm going to say Miz and R-Truth win the Raw ones.
Fair.
Motor City Machine Guns win the SmackDown ones.
Boom. They're going to AEW, aren't they?
Yeah.
But it's a yes from me.
You never know.
It's my favourite pitch you've ever done. Mm. It's a big yes from me.
I'll be intrigued to see the reaction they got.
Mm.
I think, because we were talking about this beforehand as well, and I was like, Jordan Grace got a big pop at the Rumble.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people, especially sort of now that WWE has gotten quite a bit better than what it has been previously, I feel like the fans of wrestling that aren't just, you know, like, I guess the casual sort of fans would know who they are.
Yeah.
So I think there'd be a big pop.
And
Mania
is like a big smock gathering as
well.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I'm just talking bollocks. Let's just enjoy the moment that Andrew's given us.
Right, I'm going to talk about the WWE Women's Championship. Mm. That's the SmackDown one, isn't it?
Yes.
On night two, Bayley pulls off a heroic effort to beat Io Sky and win the WWE Women's Championship. It's a wonderful WrestleMania moment. She's emotional. Maybe she does a secret hand signal to Mercedes that gets spotted by eagle-eyed fans on social media. All that good stuff. But the moment is ruined when her music stops and we get a flickering spotlight at the top of the ramp and a balaclava-clad person walks out. That's balaclavas in both my pictures by this point. Actually, no, it's not a balaclava, it's a spooky mask. It's like and they're wearing a cloak like the traitors, so you can't see any of their body, and then there's this mask. The mysterious person walks into the flickering spotlight and we get an eerie, distorted voice over the speakers with like the FBI distortion on the voice saying...
Nunzio.
It's not Nunzio.
No.
Well, it could be.
I mean, who knows?
Could be the Grinch. Sounds like the Grinch when he goes to Whoville.
Bailey, the voice says, "Did you forget about me? I was your worst nightmare." Who could it be? Oh, Jesus.
Who could it be?
Oh, sorry. Over the next few weeks, we get some more spooky messages by this person. Bailey's getting more and more unnerved. Finally, we get Backlash Francais, which I think is the next pay-per-view, PLE. Bailey's just defended the title against, I was going to say Charlotte Flair. Apparently, she's out for like months and months and months. It could be a rematch against Io. She's won anyway. Bailey's won. It's a big win. But again, her celebration is interrupted by this mysterious person who walks halfway down the ramp and then stops. Mm. And in the ring, Bailey's like, huh? And then sploosh, Bailey is drenched in liquid falling from the ceiling of the arena.
God, Vampiro.
Like in WCW with the red. You know, it's that red. But instead of red, this is pink.
Oh.
Then another wave comes down and it's bright blue. And then finally another wave of it, which is black. And this strange person unmasks and it's Alexa Bliss.
Oh. I thought you were doing the metaphors entrance there with the colours.
It's the Star Dynamite. it's Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Is she coming back?
Don't know.
That's what we want to happen.
I think she said, I think someone asked her online if she's coming back and she was like, yes.
She was Bailey's. The kendo stick and all that.
Yes. 2017.
Oh, yeah.
God, what a great year for wrestling.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a yes from me.
Thank you.
I like to see Alexa Bliss Black. Not doing the spooky bollocks either.
No.
Not too much spooky.
The pink.
I can see why the spooky's using the return, but from there on out.
No, it's what she called the what was her name?
Nickname? Lily.
No, the non-spooky Bliss. Like the, was it just 5 Feet of Fury? Was it?
Yeah.
Was she not like the...
She's five subways in length.
Sparkling bitch. Like she's sparkling really bitch. When she's really evil.
The goddess.
There we go. That's the one.
Sparkling bitch.
Sparkling bliss.
Glitter bastard.
Like a drink.
So sorry. I'm sure that she's a lovely person. I've interviewed her on a conference call. She was lovely. I don't really think she's a sparkling person.
I like it because I kind of like the idea of maybe she's just playing mind games to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the spin, you think, oh, spooky, but then no spooky.
No, sparkling.
Which I wouldn't mind at all. Sparkling
the bliss. Sparkle Splash. That was a finisher, wasn't
there
it?
There you go. That's where you got it
that's
from.
What it was called.
Like, was it? Twisted Bliss?
It was in the, before she when she was on NXT, I'm sure it was the Sparkle Splash.
I think it might have been.
A long time ago.
Mm. Right, cool. Ross, your third pitch, please.
Well, I started writing one and I gave up. I was like, Paramore, play Belly to the Ring. Poppy plays Io Sky to the Ring.
Ooh.
Otis is Io Sky's special ring announcer for the evening because this week it was revealed he thought Io's name was Leo.
Yeah, that's right. I felt bad for him.
I know,
because he's going like, one person who's doing really well is that Leo. Big E's like, nah.
But I gave up on that pitch.
He handles it well.
Oh, what a guy.
Only Otis could get away with that anyway. Tonight one's kickoff show we go. We're going to put wrestling on the kickoff show. The Latino World Order versus Santos and Dirty Dom. That's going on the kickoff show for on night one. The end of the match on night one happens when Dragon Lee turns on Rey Mysterio and he takes his mask off because it never works. We never have another Rey Mysterio that gets to the level of Rey Mysterio. It never works. He spits on a fallen Rey Mysterio. This is what you've done to my career by existing, you dick. And he walks out of the match, allowing the heels to win. Later that night in the tag team ladder match, it looks like Damien and Finn are going to retrieve their titles and retain when all of a sudden, coming down from the roof like Sting, is a person wearing a black balaclava. Never heard that before in this video. The Masked Assailant pushes Finn and Priest off the ladders, which in a hilarious turn of events allows Orson Truth to get the red belt and A-Town Down Under to get the blue ones, giving each brand its own exclusive set of champions. The Masked Assailant is joined by several more Masked Assailants as they're continuously beating down Priest and Finn. At the end of the beatdown, the people with the balaclavas on take their balaclavas off one by one. The first one, it's the newly handsome Dragon Lee without his mask on. Mm. The next one is Andrade, and the leader of the faction is Dirty Dom Mysterio, who is communication is key, Dom. Communication is key. We've heard that so many times over the past couple of weeks, and I think he's going to whizzle-wazzle the JD and branch off on his own with his own faction, where he's the leader and Mammy is not. And now you get your summer of storylines with Dom and his boys going against the JD, but crucially not against the LWO. This is going to happen on Raw. Because we've seen way too much of the LWO versus Legado and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's endless, isn't it? Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, the third one I was struggling. But luckily on the drive into work today, I saw a gaggle of luchadors on the quayside in Newcastle. And thought, wow, he looks a little bit like Dom. And he doesn't look like he trusts the other lads. He's going to split away from them. I was like, yes, that's what we'll do.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dom Andrade, who he's been having conversations with over the past couple of weeks, and Dragon Lee, who is, because it never works, does it, having a new Rey Mysterio? How many times have we seen it?
Mm.
Kalisto, Ultimo Dragon, I guess you could throw
Sin Cara
in there. Sin Cara. Get the mask off him. I'm sure he's a handsome boy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Andrade was under a mask for a long time in Mexico.
I think he
lost a mask versus mask match, and everyone went, oh.
Santos was as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. King Cuerno.
Yeah.
I did have down the Shaggin' Cousins and Santos in this faction, but that's a bit too much.
Who
over-egging the pudding?
I like Angel Garza as smarmy Angel Garza rather than evil Angel Garza.
When he went and tried to touch Rhea Ripley the day.
What?
Like, get your hands away from me.
Oh, God.
In that segment.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about like some news story that I had, and I was like, Jesus. It's a yes from me.
It's a yes from me as well. I think that would be really, really good.
I was about to do the Simon Cup. Ross, you've got three yeses.
You've got three yeses. Sorry.
I don't like it. I love it.
Yeah. I love it.
That wasn't the best performance of the night. That was the best performance of the season.
What a show.
Yeah. You know when someone comes out and goes like, yeah, I'm going to do a cover of like whatever, Dancing on My Own, but I'm going to put a little bit of a twist on it. Then we're like, and it's just a rap.
Yeah.
You just do a rap in the middle.
Oh, I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, no.
Elephant.
This happened on the podcast, and he didn't get it out for the rest of the podcast.
Elephant.
Well, you didn't get the sneeze.
Yeah, I felt terrible for him. He was struggling.
Oh, that's the worst feeling.
Man, I couldn't finish my wank fest. I was gooning a sneeze, Andrew. That's what we learned.
Dan did the best. Dan knows
wasn't
the best.
Dan, it was an anonymous person.
Sorry.
Daniel Heppler, 47 Chesterfield Way, Gosforth. I don't know what. Right. I hope that's not a real address.
Please, Ross. Okay.
Scores of gooners just turning up.
I'll do my final one then, eh?
Yeah, sorry. Let's get things back.
No, that's all right. I like it. Do you reckon it's time for the Judgment Day to be not a thing anymore?
It feels like we've been teasing the potential breakup in several different ways for a long time now, so I think it's time to spaff or get off the toilet.
I agree. What do you think?
I'll leave that for my third pitch.
Okay. So this is my third pitch. We're going to the six-woman tag team match, Damage Control versus Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill. But I want to see some tension between Bianca and Jade in this match that builds to something huge down the line. So throughout the match, Bianca and Jade try to outdo one another, with poor Naomi caught in the middle of it all. So perhaps Bianca makes some snide comments before the match about Jade needing to keep up because Bianca has a WrestleMania undefeated streak to uphold, to which Cargill retorts that she knows a thing or two about winning streaks. During the match, the two try to outdo one another, constantly tagging themselves in to show off their strength. But ultimately, it all concludes when Bianca gets Kairi Sane in position for a KOD close to the babyface corner to finish it all off. She sort of taunts Jade a little bit, though, telling her this is how you get it done at WrestleMania. But unbeknownst to Bianca, as her back is turned, because she's away from the heel corner at this point, she's looking at Jade Cargill, Dakota Kai gears up to hit that running kick to take the EST out from behind. But Cargill clocks Kai and quickly tags herself into the match to make the save. But Bianca, obviously not seeing this, and with Kairi still on her shoulders, she tries to square up to Jade, thinking this is some kind of ego thing. She's got this match in the bag after all. Why tag in now? So Jade pushes Bianca out of harm's way, which sends her and Kairi to the canvas. She manages, as Kai tries to connect with that kick, she hoys her up for a pop-up powerbomb as a New Zealander charges towards them, which makes Kai roll out of the ring in a daze. Asuka comes in, Jade grabs her, presses her high above her head and tosses her to the outside onto Kai before finally hoisting up Sane to hit Jaded. Jade goes for that patented cover where she bends back and she licks the hand. But as she does so...
Man. Yeah, we need to keep that.
This is part of the story.
No, it's not.
It's part of the.
Becky Lynch would hate you.
She licks the hand, and as she does so, though, she's staring directly at Bianca, who sits in the corner watching it all.
That's the story.
Get on to this.
That's part of the story.
Not what's written on the paper.
It's necessary, lads.
It's necessary, all right.
This is a pitches video, not that Reddit thread. I can't remember the name of where all
the Reddit
dirty pervs go.
1, 2, 3.
What's it called, Jack?
I don't know. Oh my goodness.
1, 2, 3.
I've seen one where people admire wrestlers, male wrestlers' willies.
We got banned from that.
Who's we?
On one of the live streams, people started putting mine and Adam's
photos in there. Wrestle with the package. That's
People started putting mine and Adam's photos in there, and then lots of people got banned.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You probably did some good there. You've stopped the objectification of wrestling.
Exactly.
There you go.
It was someone photoshopped my head onto someone lifting up a cow.
Was this during like a boring show?
I can't even remember. Okay. It must have been a B show.
Sorry for Indra.
That's all right. So she licks her hand and she stares at Bianca while she does it. One, two, three, the baby faces win. And Jade has a huge WrestleMania moment. She's got her first WrestleMania win there.
Oh, right. I thought you meant the licking of the hand.
No, not that bit. She's taking out Damage Control.
By herself.
Yourself. Again, Bianca squares up to Jade after the match, but Naomi gets involved. And just when it looks like something could go down, Bianca raises Jade's arm in victory, but not without shooting daggers, at a teammate. And it's a WrestleMania win for Bianca for sure, but obviously that jealousy simmers within her due to Jade stealing that WrestleMania. Well, no, she didn't really steal it because she came in to make the save.
You're the one who wrote it.
Well, I know, I'm conflicting myself. She didn't really steal the spotlight though, I guess, because she came in to make the save. But Bianca's all jealous about it, and it leads to tension and big things down the line.
It's a yes from me.
Oh, it's a yes from me
as
well.
I like the idea of heel Bianca. I think it's time to turn her heel soon again.
We won't get that.
I think we will.
Do you think?
Oh, way I?
Do you reckon? Yeah. It feels like we've been needing it for a long time. And
do you not think they will? She's acting awfully heelish.
She's acting justified as well. She's like Drew.
Maybe that's it. Maybe
Bailey was an arsehole for 2 years.
Yeah, she was.
I can see heel Bianca. I really hope they do win because I also have noticed Bianca's unbeaten WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I too am
3-0 at the moment.
A connoisseur of wrestling, and I've noticed
this. And then for Jade to be like, hey, you only got that WrestleMania win because of me.
Oh, it could set up a potential future WrestleMania.
My only trepidation around this pitch, Andrew, was this being the feud coming out of WrestleMania for Jade. Because Bianca is rapid, right? And lots of people mm-hmm. struggle to keep up with her. Mm-hmm. And for that to be Jade's first one where she needs to keep up with Bianca, is that what you want to do when you're building someone up?
I mean, you can still build attention for a while, can't you? It doesn't have to kick off straight
away.
They
could be on each other's horizons.
Yeah,
licking at each other.
Because she's still got that thing, just licking at each
other. Licking their hands at each other. Yeah.
No, that wasn't the main...
Sorry.
I mean, it was an image for sure, but it wasn't the focal point of the pitch.
I'd like to apologise for that.
It's okay.
It's a yes from me.
Thank you.
Yes.
Right. Tag team ladder match action. Things do not go as rumoured because everyone seems to think they're going to split the belts and one team will win one set and one team will win the other one. I think they've released some like rules for it which seemed to suggest, which did sort of went like the team that pulls down, it kept it like vague.
Oh, the match doesn't end until both belts are taken.
I was saying, what happens like if let's just say Finn Balor plucks down a red one and then Damian Priest plucks down a blue one.
Ooh.
What happens then? What happens then?
Pitch. I don't know.
Maybe they're in... No, they won't be. I was about like, what if they're in different locations? But that can't be.
This is a shoot wrestling match. We don't know what's going to happen at the end.
No.
Of course. Things do not go as rumored, splitting the belts. Instead, the awesome truth pick up an emotional, crowd-pleasing victory. During the match, Damian Priest takes what I'm going to call the Bubba Ray Dudley bump. So, like, off the ladders, through loads of tables, because he's a big boy and it always looks impressive when that happens. And even if there's loads of tables to really, really break his fall, I don't care, because I think it still looks really good. Backstage after the match, we see the Judgment Day's special WrestleMania clubhouse. It's really good. Try and get the lads to fill some time theorizing on what a special Mania clubhouse could look like. Okay, that's
all. It'll be a
black bouncy castle.
Yes, there is
a giant black bouncy castle.
Oh, to celebrate. Yeah.
They're trying to cut serious intense pro because this all gets quite serious. And they're all just
Hey, they're for adults as well. I used to go to a nightclub in Sunderland back at uni that had a bouncy castle in the corner.
They used to have one in the academy.
Yeah.
Every
week someone would spew on it and close it down. Every week. They would never learn.
That's phenomenal.
Priest is in a daze in the clubhouse. He doesn't really know what's going on. Balor's talking to him in quite a suspicious way, guys, saying things like, we need to get those titles back as soon as possible. Basically trying to influence Priest, trying to imply to him that he should use his Money in the Bank briefcase. I know. waste it, really. Mm. Not in Finn's point of view, but certainly in Priest's. On the tag team titles. Adam Pearce comes in to check on Priest. Balor immediately grabs the briefcase and says, we want a title match on next week's Raw. Pierce is like, you're not Mr. Money. Really sassy. You're not Mr. Money in the Bank. Balor turns to Priest and says, you want those titles back, right? And a day's Priest's like, yeah, of course I do, yeah. And Balor's like, there you go. Pierce is suspicious and says he'll talk to them on Raw, but he doesn't accept the briefcase yet. Oh, there was a burst pipe next door.
Yeah.
And then we had all like, save our work because they were going to turn off the power.
Uh-huh.
So I've not finished this yet, but I'll do it. I know what's going to happen, but it might be a bit ragged because I've not written it fully down.
Coming off the dome.
I just saw the next paragraph end in the middle of a sentence. I was like, oh. On Raw, the Judgment Day crash the Awesome Truth celebration for winning the WCW tag team titles because R-Truth's silly. You think
that's very good.
Yeah. But the Judgment Day interrupt. They beat down the champions. The balloons of confetti are going everywhere. And Balor... Right, I can remember this. Balor has the Money in the Bank briefcase, cashes it in. Priest runs out. He's not been with the Judgment Day when they've been meeting them. He runs out. What the hell? But the match is on. And eventually Priest ends up attacking Balor, doesn't win the tag belts back. The Awesome Truth are still champions. Priest is very annoyed at Finn Balor for doing this. And Pierce is like, hold on, guys. And he comes out to the ring. He's like, how did this happen? I didn't give you the authority for Balor to cash in your Money in the Bank briefcase. And Priest's like, I don't know. And then we see on the Tron, because Balor goes... Roll the footage, right? And Balor, right, I was trying to think, I was saying a phrase, who's an authority figure that Balor could go to who would be on his side and let him cheat in this way? And I settled on Finley, if he counts. So Balor's gone to Finley, and Finley has let him go. Go on, Triple H.
I love to fight.
Triple H loves him as well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I've gone Finley instead. And Finley's gone, aye, go on with you, yes. Like when Becky, like when he let her in. And,
poor Lana.
And then... Gradually, the unfolding of the stable I like to call the mob occurs, which is Finley in like the regal role.
Mm.
Balor's the leader. Becky's also the leader on the other side. Sheamus and JD. And they're like, they're a little mob. And they run around scuffing. Well, no.
Irish chocolate.
Irish chocolate.
Sorry, the end of the pitch was a little bit loosey-goosey, but That was the gist of it.
No, so, it's a yes from me because it's not a Priest is not a potential world heavyweight champion.
Not at the minute when all the stars are out.
Yeah,
all the stars are out.
Mm. Or when the stars are in.
Oh, when the stars are in, I can see him getting there.
At what point has he felt like that since he won the briefcase? I would argue never.
Maybe he felt like it more just before he won the briefcase. Yeah,
I think that's it. It felt like we were getting to that point, didn't it? But now it kind of just feels like it's stagnant.
But now you've got the map against the remnants of the Judgment Day. If they stay together or if they don't, then they don't.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like the map.
The map.
We're the map.
Sponsored by Dairy Milk.
And everyone's like, boo! I just like the idea of Balor as like a mob boss and they can all turn up in like a little car.
He could wear a nice trilby, couldn't he?
Yeah. Do you remember JD McDonagh's original weird promo in NXT when he's
like a heartbeat?
Like an Irish playboy driving down the country lanes.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Heartbeat.
Then he became like a pain pervert.
Yes.
He would hang himself upside down.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
It just strained his head.
At first it was like, I have a lovely flat in Dublin and I like cars. And now we've got this one, so it's all good. Maybe get Damo back or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
who else is Irish?
Pierce
in the office, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Finley's son, who's... Is he in NXT?
Oh, the other one. The other one.
Yeah.
The other one. The other one.
Maybe a little bit. Irish. Yeah. A lot of Americans are Irish, aren't they?
Yeah. Conan O'Brien.
You could get, like... Mark Wahlberg to do like a monologue before a big entrance or something. I don't know. Right.
Hey
anyway,
guys, it's me.
That's the map. And that was WrestleMania Pictures. Thank you very much for watching this video. Let's plug all. Let's try and remember all the things, right?
Yeah. Pictures is now. It's Wednesday as you're watching this now.
Yes.
Thursday is predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, is the Cultaholic.
Yeah, me and Adam predictions. Yar.
Friday's the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast at 8 p.m. English time.
Also, the go home SmackDown live reactions with Adam. YouTube.com/Cultaholic/live.
Then on Saturday, we'll have some newsy news about the WrestleManias. Then we'll have the live reactions with Adam and Andrew live on the Ocho channel.
Myself and
Jack will be live on Twitch. Reacting to Start and Deliver because we don't want to risk the WrestleMania notification going out.
Yeah,
that's why we're on Twitch.
So the NXT stream is earlier in the day on Twitch. The WrestleMania one's later in the day on YouTube.
And coming out of WrestleMania Night 1, we'll have What Happened At. We'll have some newsy news and WTF is still a thing for WWE because, yes, they are. And Night 2 is the same formula, isn't it?
Yep.
And then that's it.
And then on the Monday, me and Adam will be reacting to the Raw After Mania as well.
Oh, lovely.
On YouTube. So look forward to that.
And I will, it's just a selfish one, I will have a Matches of the Month podcast coming out in the next few days March because I'm doing a special edition on Mania Week. So I wanted to get this one out very quickly.
Nice.
Yes. Joel?
I think you've covered it all.
Nice. We've done it. Thank you very much for watching, everybody. Leave your thoughts and opinions on any of these pictures in the comments section down below. Oh, hey.
Go on.
Do a bloody pitch of your own. Go on. We won't tell anyone. And remember the remember the motto? Yeah.
Yep.
But it's a Vince thing, so I don't know if I want to do it anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just a general saying. Yeah, we just don't have to do the Vince impression at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Should we do it in the cadence of some other famous person who isn't an arsehole?
Life's a pitch.
And then you die.
Then you die. Thanks for watching.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.